Hi, I'm Randy McLean from Waypoint Analytics. I got Bruce also from Waypoint, and we've been having some great discussions at the office talking about best practices and some of the management techniques that are emerging in the marketplace. And one thing that we're particularly excited about is new value-based or profit value-based customer segmentation. Now, segmentation is a management trick. The whole idea is to group birds of a feather together so that you can come up with a program for a large number of accounts and apply it generally across the board, and helps you move forward by getting certain things running while you go work on other things. So this new segmentation that we're looking at takes a look at profit value, both from cash production, so how the accounts create operating cash or gross profit, and how that relates to the NBC or the profit line of the customers. And we've got a bit of a formula that goes on that helps break out customers so that they're like in the sense of how you can treat them. So we have the high leverage accounts, those are the ones that are super profitable. We have the high efficiency accounts, the ones that are super low cost. We have the high potential accounts, the ones that create above average cash flow, but have expense rates that are too high for them to make a big contribution to the company yet. The profit drain accounts, they're the ones that produce above average cash flow, but actually consume more than that in their resources and wind up losing money for the company.
So Randy, if let's say all of them have sales of 100%, mm-hmm. and then they have some margin dollar mm-hmm. rate, you know, maybe it's 20%.
Yes.
And the cost of service 10% or 17% or whatever.
Or 37%.
Exactly. So just give me, so the high leverage accounts, they have some margin, but where's that cost to serve and how fat is that operating profit or NBC margin?
Well, there's a good point. The high leverage accounts are really important because they have above average cash production with below average expense rates.
So the high leverage, well, if your average margin for a warehouse business is 22, they could be 25.
Or they could be 15.
Or 15, but the, yeah. but the gap between it is huge. So you're making a big NBC percent.
Exactly,
there's
a big spread on.
Whereas the efficiency guys, they just have a very low cost to serve percent.
Right.
But still profitable. I mean, they won't have as fat a profit margin as the high leverage, but they're super efficient. Like, what's that all about? Where's that come from?
Exactly.
And of course, the profit drain, they make 25% and they cost 82% cost to serve, so you're losing minus 45%.
Or they have 35% and they have 200%
cost
right. to serve.
So basically, you're upside down on that.
Yeah.
And then
the high potential accounts are the ones that have above average profit, but the costs are so close to that you have a very narrow margin that you're getting to the bottom line.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So they're not efficient enough for you to be able to take advantage of that high cash production.
So what you're doing is saying, okay, we're going to take the top 10, 11, 12, 15% of your accounts that have got big margin dollars, mm-hmm. and we're going to split them in financial niches. I mean, you could have one of each one of those guys, and they could be in a certain birds of a feather niche,
right.
which would have a peculiar need of inventory and service metrics.
Right.
But that's sort of another next dimension. We're just saying, hey, we can be a lot more efficient just financially speaking, in a sense.
That's exactly what we're saying. And in fact, when we look at the high leverage accounts, for example, those are the accounts that'll be maybe bringing 23, 25, 28, 30% mm-hmm. of every revenue dollar to the bottom line.
Right.
Whereas most of your accounts may be 8% to the mm-hmm. bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got somebody that's bringing 32% of every revenue dollar to the bottom line versus your average of 8 or 10, you got somebody that's going to give you three times as much bottom line for each incremental sales dollar
right.
as your average account. So these are the accounts where you want to do the penetration plays. You know, when you're going to go out and in order of timeline to get a result and the magnitude of the result that you can get, the high leverage accounts are the best place to start. Because mm-hmm. you can say right now, today, you know, we're going to go after the 41 accounts or the 300 accounts or the 20 accounts that are high leverage accounts. You can give the guy sales territory. And you say you got five accounts in here that are high leverage. We got to sell more to these accounts. We want to take whatever we have that's working so well right now
right.
and apply it to more products somehow.
Right.
And so you can say it today and they can start working on it today and you already have the customer relationship. You don't have to win the account. You don't have to go find somebody new. You don't have to play market share with your competition.
Right.
You can immediately start increasing profitability on a select group
You know, I didn't have this terminology or this level of sophistication and the customer probably I was using to do some turnarounds in the 80s. But in one case, we did notice a group of customers that had very high profit margin.
Right.
And I was like, well, who are these guys? Because they weren't, you know, our normal, you know, mainstream. Well, they were, you know, they were a certain kind of industrial account or institutional account. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what kind of orders are they buying? Well, it turns out they were buying periodic special orders. So we weren't selling them any, you know, meat and potatoes, everyday consumption kind of stuff. And when I went out to call on them, I realized, you know, I said, what pissed, you know, upset you the most? The opposite would be good service. You know, my normal little tricks. They said, well, basically, I want to call you and get a very fast price and availability. Is it going to be 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks out? Because I want to get the paper off my desk. I'm in my little silo. I want a clean desk at the end of the day.
I don't want the quote back to the customer before the other guys.
Well, and then the other thing, no, well, that wasn't that. It was just, it was internal.
Oh, I see.
You know, it was a, you know, it was a big university campus security stuff, you know.
Okay.
Or it was, you know, Boeing, and they had a huge complex in Seattle, obviously. And so, and then they said, but you know, the thing that really bothers me is somebody calls up and says, when is the stuff for job six going to come in at whatever? And I have to go find a file. And this is before they really had great database stuff. I said, well, what if we gave you a little summary report?
Mm-hmm.
We co-created right there. Well, we wound up doing 150 reports. We print them out twice a month. And basically, they just gave us 100% of all their stuff. They didn't bother even calling anybody else. They said, I'm just going to call these guys because I'm going to get the paper on my desk and I know where it is.
Right.
So it's all 30%, you know, less 10. Cost to serve, it gives us 20 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's where you apply the service edge.
So keep your eyes open and say, why are these all coincidentally? And you might find a pattern and an underlying service like that.
Right. Now, the next group that is interesting to me is the high efficiency accounts. These are the ones that have above average cash production. Or maybe, you know, not as high as some of these others, but they have super low expense rates.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about those is that's the best place to get growth. Because numerically, when you bring in more accounts that look like those accounts, then they're going to bring in more profit dollars more quickly than you have to increase your infrastructure service costs to be able to serve those accounts. So all things being equal, if I bring in 100 accounts, but they're all these HEAs, and you bring in 100 accounts of all types, then basically all things being equal, your service costs increase at the same rate as your profits, or more commonly, at a poorer rate than your your costs, because on average, you're gonna get more poor accounts than good accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exclusively good accounts. And so if you're going to grow, these are the best accounts to have.
I wonder, just as a bonus, again, you know, peripheral vision, maybe some of these accounts have they don't try to do a lot of things. They do one thing really well. So it's called nail it and scale it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to be very internally efficient. And they buy a narrow range of stuff in a very efficient way. But they're growing. So if you can marry them, they'll grow you. And
exactly.
And they don't have a lot of problems and issues and changing orders and friction and credits and returns. It's very efficient.
Exactly. And a poor man's way of getting these high efficiency accounts is to look at the one biggest direct competitor of each one of your current high efficiency accounts, because they are on balance likely to be buying the same, they're selling the same stuff to the same customers in the same quantities, so likely to be buying the same stuff in the same quantities from your competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be one of your former accounts that you're going to get back if you've been in business for long enough. And so these are great accounts to target. So if you're going to have a targeted set of accounts that you're going after, this is the right target list.
In fact, we had a pioneering client at Waypoint long ago who they, you know, ostensibly were in one business, but they had this little section that was massively profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And because the nature of the product, they could ship it all over the country, and they created a whole nother little catalog business out of it, just going after other high efficient accounts.
I mean,
there was actually a label they were able to put on them.
You'll
find patterns when you.
Yeah, they built a whole business around that.
That's right.
And it turned out to be the most profitable thing that they did.
Exactly.
Now you've been talking for years about going out and weeding between the silos and getting out and doing the audit, finding out how you can get more closely integrated with certain customers to improve the efficiency of the relationship for the benefit of both sides. And that's where the high potential accounts and the profit drain accounts come in.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to address those kinds of accounts is to increase the efficiency, essentially have more stuff on fewer orders or the same amount of stuff on fewer orders in working with them. And that requires a certain amount of work, but when it's done well, it not only improves the accounts you have, it opens up competitive opportunities, and it also builds a huge barrier to entry for other people to come in.
Right.
If you've gone in and done the California closet thing with them, if you understand what they need and making sure that they're getting what they want, exactly they want it for their business, then it's very, very hard for a competitor to come in and displace you in that account.
And you know, it doesn't matter which one of the four categories you're looking at, in every one of them, you can right click and you can look at 11 different dimensions. And if you go to the bottom of all those ranking reports, you're gonna find, you know, the 20% of invoice or 1% of the spend. You're gonna find all these SKUs are being bought $1 at a time, 415
exactly.
times. You're gonna see obvious stuff where you say, you know what, we could go out and reorganize them and we'd both win.
Yeah.
Obviously much bigger win-win from lose-lose with the profit drain accounts, but all of them, you can look at the profitable orders versus unprofitable.
Right.
And there's friction in all of them.
Yeah. And then for those of you that have Waypoint, you'll be familiar with these things. Other people that don't have Waypoint, what we're really talking about is Waypoint does very, very detailed costing on a line-by-line basis. It knows exactly where a company makes or loses money. And this information is used to sort out these different kinds of accounts so that your sales force can be completely focused on doing the right things with the right accounts rather than just trying to bring in as much business as they can. And so that's been a real key, and it's one of the reasons why people with Waypoint get such great profit gains in what they do is they can apply some of these principles using actual data and knowledge to make sure they're doing the right thing with the right account.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, nice conversation.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing your insights.
Good.
Thank you for spending some time with us. And we're looking forward to continuing the conversation in future videos.